We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Time now for Laird and Fitzy, Ken Laird and Nick Fitzy Stevens, right here on EEI.
What's the likelihood that AB gets back in Tampa?
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
There you go.
It's not going to happen. There's no room.
Yeah.
And probably not enough money, but it's just not going to happen. It's not a fit here.
Well, there is room, though, because you lost Perriman. I don't know. If he says, I'm coming in on the veteran minimum, coach, I just want to play with Tom, you still wouldn't find a way to get him in?
No.
Wow. Why so steadfast that you would not give it a chance?
Yeah, I just know him, and it's not a fit in our locker room.
Wow. Bruce Arians in March with Brandon Tierney saying that there was no shot in hell that Antonio Brown would join Tom Brady and his Bucks in Tampa. But, of course, he did late last night. And a good friend of mine, Mr. Ben Volen, is the Globe writer for the New England Patriots and football in general, joins us on the Harbor One hotline. How you doing, Ben?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are we doing on this fine Saturday?
Oh, doing great. How stunned
Curtis is booming right now. Are you kidding me? He can't contain himself right now, Ben, while the rest of us are just shaking our heads.
What a great day, Ben. How stunned were you last night, scale of 1 to 10, when Antonio Brown signed with the Bucks?
Probably like a 3 or a 4. His suspension is coming to an end, and it seemed like someone was going to take a shot on him. The Seahawks, Russell Wilson, was publicly stumping for him. You know, maybe the Ravens would have been in the mix, but we all know Tom Brady's had a big crush on Antonio Brown. That's his guy. This is the one that Brady's going to stake his reputation to, Antonio Brown. And I think, you know, that clip that you just played of Bruce Arians, it's pretty amazing. And I guess we see who wears the pants in this relationship. Tom Brady is calling the shots here. He's the one who wanted Rob Gronkowski, and he got him. And Brady's the one who wants Antonio Brown, and he clearly has a lot more juice than Bruce Arians does. Now, I think it helps that the Bucs have a few injuries right now, and they're a little banged up, and so, you know, Brown comes in, he's cheap, and he's should be a pretty good player, but this, you know, we'll see how this goes, and whether Bruce Arians can put up with Antonio Brown, and whether Brown can behave. But I just think it's kind of a, you know, Brady's definitely getting what he wants now. He always said, hey, I don't pick the players here. I'm not the GM, when he was in New England. Well, he's certainly playing the role of GM now in Tampa Bay.
Ben, do you think this now really makes Brady happy? Like, it's more than just like, I wanted the weapons. I wanted veteran dependable targets. I also wanted to have my say. Like, he got a bigger contract than he'd had in New England for a while, and it's in Florida where there's no tax. He's got the weaponry around him. The pre-existing weaponry was already enough, I thought, to advance deep in the playoffs. It was a fantasy football team before Antonio Brown came to town. And you know that this is his decision because Bruce Arians made it known time and again on multiple platforms he had no interest in working with the guy again.
Yes, I do think that Brady is getting everything that he wants. I do think he's enjoying that aspect of it. That said, I think this was a necessary move for the Bucs because I think their defense, it's kind of like what the Patriots were last year. I think the Bucs have an excellent defense, but there are some issues with that offense. If they get, you know, when they get caught in a close game, like we saw it a couple weeks ago when they lost to Chicago on that Thursday night, they've been banged up. Mike Evans hasn't been producing the way that we kind of expected him to. So I think they need Antonio Brown, and you add him to the mix, and assuming he's, you know, the Steelers version of Antonio Brown, and they can, you know, control his craziness enough to keep him productive on the field, then I think the Bucs This is going to make them close to unstoppable. Brady's got, you know, so many different weapons now, and the defense is excellent. They just need Brady to not turn the ball over and really just manage the game. And he can be potentially more than that now when you add a guy like Antonio Brown. So if they can keep him under control, you know, maybe they hire Tony Robbins as like a staff psychologist.
Okay.
You know, but, you know.
They'll have their meetings at the Scientology Center, Ben.
Say that again?
They'll have their meetings at the Scientology Center.
Yeah. The Milken Institute, actually, is where they'll be going every week. But, that's a weird story, huh, Curtis? He's enlisting Tony Robbins to help with Antonio Brown.
That's the only thing I don't like about this story. That guy freaks me out. We're speaking with Ben Volen of the Boston Globe, and this hour is brought to you by Big Y. It's more than food. It's my Big Y. You said who wears the pants. We can tell it's Tom Brady in Tampa, and I agree. What about the people who used to wear the pants with Brady, Kraft, Belichick? What do you think their reaction was last night?
Vaya con Dios. You know, good luck, Tom Brady and Antonio Brown. We're glad he's not our problem anymore. That is definitely the vibe from the Patriots. The time for the Patriots to, like, make amends and consider bringing Antonio Brown back in the fold was last year when the season was going haywire and they clearly needed help on offense. I thought they should have done it. They should have swallowed their pride and brought it back. But they didn't, and they clearly wanted nothing. They had a brief experience on the Antonio Brown crazy train and wanted nothing more to do with it, and especially with Antonio Brown taking public shots at Kraft on his way out of town. That was not something that's going to sit well with the ownership.
If he didn't do that, Ben, if he never sent that specific tweet but did everything else, do you think he'd be back with the team?
I mean, not this year. It doesn't make sense this year, but I think that could have been a chance last year. But when you insult Kraft like that, that's a point of no return. But yeah, I mean, if he hadn't done that, the whole problem with Antonio Brown here was just no one took away his cell phone. If they could just keep him off his cell phone, keep him from tweeting and Instagram and texting people, he would have been fine. But
sounds like Trump.
He couldn't. Yeah, it sounds exactly like Trump. He couldn't. He just couldn't contain himself. But you know, hey, you know, it's not the Patriots' problem anymore. It's Tom Brady's problem and the Bucs' problem. And I'm curious to see how it works with Bruce Arians. He said that Antonio Brown wasn't going to work in their locker room, so let's see how that all works out.
Yeah, and if Jeffrey Dahmer didn't chop people up and eat them, he was a great neighbor too. I mean, come on, people are as crazy as that. I mean, he's not changing anytime soon.
Now he's a serial killer or a cannibal. What are you saying?
I mean, just mildly misunderstood, Curtis.
Okay.
I remember last night, Ben. I read that passage. I didn't get a chance to finish the book, but I read that passage that Tom Curran tweeted out about in the Dynasty about the conversation that was had between Kraft and Belichick. And basically, Belichick, it seemed like Belichick said, like, you know, this one's on me. He's a talent. You know, take my word. We'll work it out. And Kraft had his questions about it. And obviously, it blew up in his face. And then he sent the unforgivable tweet thereafter. So do you think this, like, is this going to be on Brady? Do you think Arians probably said to him, like, all right, look, fine. You want him so bad, obviously. Okay, you can have him. Anything goes wrong, this is on you, Brady.
I think absolutely. And then Brady's going to say, well, you know what? You guaranteed my contract through next year, so you can be mad at me all you want, but I'm your quarterback for the next two seasons. So, yeah, this is definitely, it seems like a Brady move and not a Bruce Arians move. And the GM, Jason Licht, and the ownership there, the Glazers, they seem more than happy to keep Tom Brady happy. That's their guy now. And you know what? It's the deal that they've all, you know, signed up for. Like, Brady brings this team attention and, you know, a lot of wins, and they should be a contender in the NFC, and they've got a pretty good team here. And so when Brady says, I want Antonio Brown, they're probably going to go out and get him. It's a lot different than what the situation was here in New England, where there was just obviously so much established success and culture under Belichick. The Bucs have none of that. They're thrilled to have Brady and to be a part of the Brady experience and everything that comes with it. Antonio Brown, Rob Gronkowski, Tony Robbins. I mean, when were we ever talking about the Bucs before this guy joined the team? So, yeah, it's on Brady, but what are they going to do? He's their quarterback for the next 2 years.
I have it's stunning to me, Ben, this morning, seeing the line that the Patriots are currently 2.5-point favorites over the 49ers after they played possibly their worst game in the regular season, and God knows when, maybe since week 17 last year. But why are they favored at home, and what do you anticipate seeing tomorrow afternoon at Gillette?
Yeah, I actually, in our weekly pick-ems, I'm definitely taking the Patriots. And to me, it boils down to two things, Curtis. One, they're getting healthy. I think they should probably get David Andrews and Shaq Mason back this week, at least Mason, and possibly Andrews off injured reserve as well. And then you have four starters back on the offensive line. I thought that was a big part of why they played so poorly against Denver. Just the offensive line was a mess. And then I had a second reason, but I was talking so much about that. This team's got to be hungry and coming off a loss like that. A normal week of practice, that to me is a huge part. Just having 3 days of practice and, they barely got together as a team for 2 weeks before.
No, nobody mentioned that. And
yeah, that's the first you're probably hearing of that. And look, Tom Brady could get away with 2 weeks with no practice and still play well, but Cam Newton needs to work, and there's no question. So I think normal week of practice, getting healthy on the offensive line, those are big factors. And then when you just, two straight losses, the Patriots never lose three straight under Belichick. So I like the Patriots' chances this Sunday.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they come out really precise and very aggressive tomorrow, trying to force Garoppolo into some mistakes, not allowing them to establish the run game. I mean, they're without Mostert, they're without their safeties, they're without Quan Alexander, so there'll be some opportunities for Cam. We'll see if he works on his footwork and more. But in terms of the people that he's throwing to, Ben, a lot was made early in the week of, I watched the All-22 and there were some throws that could be made. Asiasi was there. There were opportunities. There's still a lot of small windows. It's not like there's guys that are going to go up and get all those passes that have Cam's trust, let alone huge windows. So when a guy like Michael Thomas, the Saints possibly presenting the option of trading him for the right price, you spend money on that? Would you go get him?
There was just a tweet on this, Nick, by the way,
hit me.
5 minutes ago or so, Sean Payton tweeted saying, this is why the insiders are on the outside, replying to a Bleacher Report story that Michael Thomas was being shopped or on the trade market. So what? Take that for what it's worth. I mean, he could easily be doing that. They could still be trading him, but he said that, no, that's not happening.
Okay, so buyers or sellers.
And the Saints would be wrecking their salary cap to trade this guy. And I don't know. I tend to think he's a creation of that offense and of playing in a dome. I don't think he'd be the same productive receiver playing in New England. And count me as one of the people you were mocking a minute ago, saying that Cam Newton had some throws and the receivers were getting open. I think, you talk about the tight windows or whatever. I think some of it was the play calling too. Watching that game, it was a lot of vertical routes, and we're not necessarily used to that from the Patriots. Where's the short, quick stuff, and where's the guys setting picks for each other to create separation? I think that separation thing can be a little overrated. So if any position they upgrade here in the next 9 days, I'd like to see them go get a tight end. I've kept saying David Njoku, who has once again said he wants out of Cleveland. Tight end is clearly a black hole right now, but I think any receiver you get, we've seen this movie before. It's impossible. Their offense is so complicated, they can't incorporate these guys in the middle of the season. And, why waste a draft pick on someone like that? Maybe go get a tight end. But I think they have enough. When they're healthy on the offensive line and everyone's healthy, they have enough in the passing game with Edelman, Harry, James White, Burkhead, Demir Byrd has been okay. Enough in the passing game.
That sounds horrible, those players you just listed.
Yeah, but when Cam is healthy and the offensive line is healthy and they're running the read option and they're
What NFL team has worse weapons than the Patriots?
Off the top of my head, probably not many.
Right.
Maybe the Jets, but
Jets.
They still put up 30 points and 500 yards of offense against the Seahawks in week two. So when they're healthy, and to me, it's all about the offensive line. When they can get some push up front, they can protect Cam. If they can get the play action going, that makes them very dangerous. They don't need all these weapons. You just need a guy Edelman and Demir Byrd and James White. That honestly is probably enough in the passing game if everyone's healthy and everyone's clicking. But they don't have a big margin of error. And, you see that last week. They look they look terrible against Denver.
And the tight end position, Ben, the tight end position with the Broncos, I can't pronounce his last name, but the tight end that had the big game against the Patriots with the Broncos, who was a rookie, was drafted after Asiasi, the two Patriots players that they drafted this year at tight end. Belichick has a massive blind spot with that lately.
We call him Albert O because the last name is impossible, Curtis.
Anyway, Ben, you joined the Globe in 2013 as the national football writer at the Boston Globe. Is tomorrow the biggest regular season game that you've covered?
Because it's Jimmy Garoppolo coming back to town?
You have Jimmy G coming back to town. You have the season on the brink. You have Tom Brady celebrating a Super Bowl win in October in Tampa. It's a lot of stuff going on.
I'll tell you what was a big game was Tom Brady's first game back from suspension in Cleveland in 2016. That was like that felt like a Super Bowl kind of an atmosphere. But, yeah, there's a lot on the line today or tomorrow, and it's close to a must-win for the Patriots. If they drop to 2-4, historically, since 1990, only 10% of teams that start 2-4 make the playoffs. Now, there's a seventh team this year in the playoffs, so those numbers are skewed a little bit. But the difference between 3-3 and 2-4 is massive. It's like 10% versus 35% making the playoffs. So this is definitely a must-win. And, I mean, the journalist and the troll in me is rooting for Jimmy Garoppolo to come in and just, you know, kick some butt and, you know, show everyone what he's made of and, you know, stick, rub the Kraft's face in it and all that stuff. But, you know, we'll see. It's a definitely a big game, and 2-4 is not a hole you want to have to dig yourself out of.
And then the season could possibly be on the line. The third decade of the dynasty, you know, that all dynasty team came out this week, and all Pats fans said, yeah, they're putting this out now because this means it's over, even though they had been working on it for 18 months prior. But it could all come down to Buffalo next week. I'll get you out on this. Are you a believer in Buffalo, Ben? Do you think that this is still the Patriots division to be had if they can right everything inside House Belichick?
Yeah, I mean, I still think the Patriots, like, I predicted them to win the division at 9-7, so I'm going to stick by that. The Bills are probably better than I gave them credit for, but they're coming back to earth a little bit. Josh Allen, he had a hot start, but teams are going to figure him out, and he's a roller coaster, and he's gonna crater at some point. So I still think Buffalo has a lot to prove, and we need to go back to something you just said. The Patriots spent 18 months on that all dynasty team, and they came up with two long snappers, Fitzy.
Wasn't that the Patriots? Excuse me, I picked the wrong time to cough and swallow. Ben, it wasn't that they spent 18 months putting it together. It was a combination of football writers as well as a popular fan vote that they amassed and put together, and then blobbity blobbity blah. I don't even know if it was necessarily 18 months. They worked on it for a while. It wasn't like they just decided this week, like, hey, bright shiny object over here after a terrible loss to the Broncos. Here's the all dynasty team, kids. Come by the Hall of Fame.
How is Deion Branch not on that? That is
He's on it.
He is?
No,
they
he's
fixed
not
it.
On
yes.
it.
No, they fixed it.
Oh.
It was a mistake. There was,
did they take off a long snapper?
No, apparently you guys weren't listening to the award-winning Dale and Keith with Fitzy yesterday at noon when I broke the news that it was a clerical error, a mere oversight that left Branch off the list.
Clerical error.
That was 100%. He was accidentally left off the list. They called him. They fixed it. He's going to be on there. When you go down to the exhibit at the Hall of Fame at one formerly Tom Brady place, you will see Deion Branch mentioned on the All-Dynasty team.
All right.
Well, they need to resend that press release then and get the word out.
Yes, and also they're going to add a third long snapper.
Oh, I love it. All right, Ben, thank you for joining us today, bud. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, boys, have a good one.
All right, thanks, Ben. See ya.
All right, that is Ben Volen of the Boston Globe. We're going to get to what is trending and your phone calls next at 617-779-7937.
OMF, weekdays from 2 to 6. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, great day. Antonio Brown and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have reached an agreement on a one-year deal for just over the veteran minimum. If all goes well with COVID protocols, Antonio Brown is expected to make his debut in a rematch against the Saints for the Bucs, who lost to the Saints in Week 1 in New Orleans. The Pats, who are 2-3 heading into tomorrow's game, are getting ready for their date with Jimmy G and the 3-3 49ers. Kickoff is set for 4:25 at Gillette Stadium. James White returned to practice yesterday. Carl Davis has been ruled out, while five other Patriots are questionable, including Adam Butler, Kyle Duggar, Julian Edelman, Shaq Mason, and Derek Rivers. The 49ers will be without their two starting safeties tomorrow, starting running back Raheem Mostert and linebacker Quan Alexander also ruled out for this one. No more positive tests for either the Raiders or the Saints, so their games this weekend are still on as scheduled. And after us, it's BC football pregame at 3:30 before the Eagles host Georgia Tech at the Heights. Take a bow. And don't forget, you can listen to WEEI on your smart speaker. Just say, play WEEI, powered by Dell Technologies. Call 877-ASK-DELL. That's what's trending now at EEI and EEI.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
More of what you want to hear. Laird and Fitzy on EEI.
Yeah, it's an exciting week. Get to go back to where it all started for my NFL career, but you know it's a little different than the Chicago week 2 years ago. You know, it's feel like I've come a long way learning the offense and things like that. So I feel a little different going into this one, but the excitement levels it's the exact same. It's an exciting week and can't wait for Sunday.
That is former New England Patriot, current San Francisco 49er quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo on returning to Foxborough. And I have to interrupt myself, Fitzy.
Please.
The most stunning score in the history of college football. 27-21 currently. Clemson only up 6 over Syracuse in the third quarter.
Ooh, baby. Now, can we tell the audience why this is so remarkable? Because Dino Babers has got his orange fired up when they went into a game against conference rival of the ACC, the number one team in the country, Clemson. They were 46-point underdogs.
I mean, I think that would be the biggest. I mean, I don't know, but that's got to be a top 10 upset in college football history. If they win that game. Totally digress.
You would be talking about Appalachian State beating Michigan. Like, you'd on a level. Now, I know, obviously, you know, Syracuse is like an ACC. They're a D1 team, but that would be monumental. Did you know this? I read earlier today that Dabo Swinney, who is just an incredible coach, and he's obviously, you know, had one incredible quarterback, and now he's got maybe the greatest QB prospect in history.
Right.
In Trevor Lawrence. In games, I think, where they were favored by 30 points or more, they were 1-6. They are terrible against the spread when they're massive favorites. So that was free money right there. Man, where was Scheim on that one, man? That was a no-brainer.
Anyway, back to Jimmy G. I am so fascinated, not as much about as I am about Butler and Super Bowl 52, but the role of Jimmy G in the Patriots' second half of the double dynasty, as you always well put it, the way in which he fueled Brady to get back to where he was and even reach heights he hadn't reached before in those next three Super Bowl wins, and the trade in 2017, and now the thought, the sort of rumor-mongering going on that he may potentially return to the Patriots. What do you think about all that?
The whole idea that San Francisco, if they're not believers in Garoppolo being the right choice for the future of the team, because make no mistake, Kyle Shanahan's going nowhere. He'll be the coach of that team for several years, if not ages to come. I think Vrabel's sticking put in Tennessee. I think Kyle Shanahan is firmly entrenched in San Francisco. But is Garoppolo accurate enough? Is he the guy they believe in, considering they can get out from underneath him, Curtis, this coming offseason for less than $3 million as opposed to committing $28 million to him.
Right.
I don't know. I think they want a they might want a more accurate quarterback. I can't see them moving on without a better option in place, but I still wouldn't be surprised. Him coming back to New England, I don't necessarily see that reunion happening. I know people want to romanticize it, that if Cam moves on, that you bring Jimmy G back home, and it's just a delayed reuniting of guys that were meant to be together. But I like the fact that you bring up Jimmy Garoppolo being a benefit to Tom Brady, because all that time, Brady was supposed to be mentoring Garoppolo, but it was the presence of Garoppolo that pushed Brady to play his best football. Because I think it's pretty clear, not just statistically, but if you watch Brady's body of work, his gameplay, his footwork, what he did with the ball, from 14 to 17, those 4 years, he played his best football at quarterback. Why? Because he thought he was going to lose his job because he had the, you know, Tony Romo light nipping at his heels from, you know, Eastern Illinois or Western, or wherever the hell he went to college.
Saluki.
And look what it, exactly. Lenore Ryan. And, you know, DeVry. Wentworth.
Brian Hoyer.
Brian Hoyer. You know, Worcester Polytech.
Right.
And look what he did for him. You know, he actually helped make Tom Brady a better quarterback.
No, absolutely. I think that there you cannot argue the role that, that Jimmy G played in fueling Brady to get back to those heights and, as I said, surpass them. But I find it, to me, the most underrated element of the most important position in sports of quarterback is being on the field. And so much of what Peyton Manning, Brett Favre, Tom Brady, Eli Manning, Philip Rivers, those guys never miss games. They play every single week. There was never a doubt if Brady was probable or questionable on Wednesday that he was going to take the field on Sunday, whether he had a gash in his arm or a right shoulder, or as you put it last year, the tennis elbow thing. He was always on the field. It is the most, I don't think there is a close second for a player at that position in the NFL to know that no matter what, barring an unforeseen hit that's now banned or some crazy, you know, thing that happens when you're playing a violent game, you're going to have that quarterback play. And for me, Jimmy Garoppolo is not a franchise quarterback so long as he is still a guy that misses 2 to 3 games a year.
Yeah, you know, sorry everyone if I'm going to dip into the football guy well on this one, but the best ability is availability. Am I right, everybody? Yeah, put your pads on. Let's hit each other.
Gresh just called the show.
Yeah, I mean, Brady was good every Sunday. In addition to, like, in August, you knew they'd be playing late in January at least. You knew Brady was going to be out there. It didn't matter if his sports hernia had him carrying around 2 basketballs between his kneecaps or if his right hand was hanging off because Rex Burkhead ran into him the wrong way. He was going to play, and that's what we all admired about him. That's what made him so – one of the many things that made him so special was you knew he was always going to go out and give it his all, not just for you, the fans, but because that's the way Brady is built and programmed and how he operates. I'm not going to say that Jimmy Garoppolo is built from the reconstituted sugar glass of J.D. Drew or that he's like too fragile for his own good, but he's not as tough as Tom Brady. And it was all evidenced in the game where for a quarter and a half, I'm sure you were sweating bullets. They may have smelled like gin if you hadn't actually kicked the sauce at that point. But it was week two in 2016. No, you've been sober 4.5 years,
right.
So you were fresh.
Well, boy, yeah, you probably my house still smelled like gin, so carry
yeah,
on.
Yeah, and you probably really needed a drink at that point, so I double admire what you've been able to do. But week two, 2016, after the shocking win on the road where Garoppolo looked great against Arizona, the first, I want to say, like 25 minutes of the game against Miami.
Unbelievable.
It might have been, you know, with all due respect to Brady, it may have been the best single, you know, half of football a quarterback wearing a Patriots uniform ever played. I mean, he just you looked at that and you said, Tom, who? Oh, did anyone hear me say that out loud? Waitress, another one, please. It was unbelievable. And then with one rollout, some pressure from Kiko Alonso and a bad fall on his shoulder, over,
right.
Done.
And then. As you well know, I'm sure you're connected down there better than I am. I mean, the rumors were, is he going to play against the Texans? Is it going to be Brissett? What's going on here? And a lot of people felt that he should have been able to get back on the field for that Thursday night game. Or was it a Sunday night? I digress. But
no, it was. So the way it went, Curtis, he was definitely not available because it wasn't like a full shoulder separation. He was not available for Thursday night against Brissett. And they kept the offense very limited. He had that great
bootleg. Right.
And then Bill O'Brien, the team that should have won the game, and Brissett was terrific, and the defense was awesome. It was 10 days later. They had 10 days to inject Jimmy G full of everything Fourier tells us about that he took all the time that has left him numb from head to toe physically and emotionally. And Jimmy was too afraid of doing it. And so Brissett went out there with a torn thumb ligament,
right?
Couldn't throw the football, and they had to run all day, and Buffalo just sort of suffocated them. I think it was like 18 or 22 to nothing. It was an awful game.
Yeah, I remember that. And then the next week, you were there in Cleveland when Brady returned to the field. But
one of that is my favorite American football, my favorite football viewing experience on American soil was seeing Tom Brady come back against Cleveland.
And my favorite American is Tom Brady, and this is just one thing I like to add, the cherry on top of the Brady Sunday. He's played all these consecutive games. He's 43 years old. He's still playing, 14 touchdowns, 4 picks, and he's played 41 playoff games. So he's played all these years, and he's played an additional 2.5 seasons of the most intense football you could ever play, which is just mind-boggling. Let's go to the calls. Wayne in South Boston. What's up, Wayne?
Here's my guy, Curtis. Watch out. Here he is. What's up, Wayne?
I heard Brady got his pinky, huh?
Mm-hmm. Well, he's got two pinkies. Wow. He's got a binky at every position now, Wayne.
Yeah, but Gronk looks like he's breaking down every time you watch the game with him.
Oh, he looked great last week.
Yeah, but Curtis though, just when Gronk has a good game last week and he finally comes to life, he catches the ball over the middle, he gets the touchdown in the corner.
A Brady
to Gronk staple. He has to spike it with his left hand because his right hand hurt too much.
Right.
I'm afraid Gronk's going to break. But anyway.
What if Gronk doesn't start getting all the passes that he wants, and he sees, you know, Brady, you know, going a lot to Antonio? Where's that little riff going to go? You know what I mean? Like, hey, whoa, what's up? All of a sudden, you got your binky back, and you don't throw the ball to me.
I could see a
little, you know, anger going on inside that locker room, even with Arians too, because you know Arians is waiting for this guy to blow up. You know what I mean? So he can look at Tom and go, "I told you, Brady."
Wayne,
that's coming.
Well, Wayne, number one, don't forget Gronk said in a soundbite that was not nearly as nauseating as "I go vroom vroom real fast" at his motocross conference a couple years ago. But earlier this year, he said he's a blocking tight end, baby. So, you know, that's what he's down
for. Yeah.
But I wouldn't be, Wayne, Curtis, this is interesting. I wouldn't be surprised if Antonio Brown was given the veteran minimum, you know, after he got wildly overpaid. That was the mistake last year by Belichick. Not bringing him in, but giving him $9 million last year when the guy just came off a giant contract in Oakland and crazied his way out of that situation.
He literally froze his foot.
Burned his feet frozen in France,
right,
which is impossible to do unless you're the kind of guy who enters training camp in a hot air balloon. But so I wouldn't be surprised if Arian said, okay, look, I'm going to let you do this. This is on you. I'm going to give him the veteran minimum so that way if he does something, if Tony Brown is Tony Brown, then that way we can cut him and it doesn't kill our cap room. Because the last thing they would have wanted to do is exhaust all of their cap with no room to be able to take on any other players either, you know, by November 3rd, because the trade deadline is 11 days from now, right?
Right. And this is a total no-brainer for Bruce Arians because we know he's obsessed with being right and obsessed with, you know, protecting his own ass. So those audio cuts are out there. That's there for eternity. So if Antonio Brown comes in, is great, gels with Brady, somehow keeps himself on the field, and they win a Super Bowl, then Bruce Arians wins a Super Bowl. And he was smart to listen to Brady and, you know, and trust that Antonio Brown would come in and do his job. And if Antonio Brown comes in, sucks, he cuts him and says, yeah, that's on Brady. So there's no way in which this hurts his ego or legacy in Tampa.
No, it doesn't at all. And then Brady can even spin it in a positive and say, like, look, you know, I wanted to help Antonio the man as much as I wanted to play with Antonio the football player. It just didn't work out. And, you know, we wish him all the best, you know, go Bucks. And then I throw up all over my screen again whenever I hear him say that.
Speaking of that, let's go to Dan in Cranston. What's up, Dan?
Here we go. Hi, Danny.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How are you?
Where's Ken?
Ken is somewhere in Pennsylvania driving a U-Haul with his mother's belongings.
And full of toilet paper, I'm sure, too.
Yes, and a bubble.
And a bunch of Lysol wipes and canned beans. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, hey, Frank and beans. So the Bucks, you know, everything is about Brown, but the one thing about them that I think that we never thought going into the season, they have a pretty stout defense right now, you know, and the defense, if that's the way they're going to play, the way they played against Green Bay last week, I mean, I don't think they need to score that many points, even with all the weapons they have.
Yeah, it wasn't just, I mean, aside from the fact that they picked Rodgers twice late in the first half, Dan, they were up 10-0, and then two picks later, it's 14-10, game over, because, you know, Rodgers, I'm not sure if he pouted or he just couldn't get anywhere against that defense, or just, you know, kind of got flummoxed by what they were doing. But the Bucs have a sneaky good defense that's going to keep them in games when the offense is grinding, and that's what makes me think that they have the edge in Seahawks versus Buccaneers should that end up being our NFC championship, because the Buccaneers defense may slow Russell Wilson down just enough, whereas I don't think the Seahawks defense could stop, you know, you, me, Curtis, and Ken from putting up 38 any given Sunday.
The most stunning element of this entire Brady experiment in Tampa has had nothing to do with him. It's been the defense. I mean, I watch all these games. I'm rooting for Brady like crazy, and I thought this was going to be sort of 35-31 type games that it was. Yep. Brady was going to miss. If he was going to miss anything, he'd miss the Belichick genius of defensive coaching. But the defense there, Todd Bowles is like a revelation in Tampa.
Yes, he's out from underneath the kryptonite generator that is the New York Jets, and he's got playmakers. You know, they and they're also proactive. This is the one. This will frustrate me if the Patriots win Sunday, and then they don't make moves, knowing full well that your defense is playing better than you thought. You've got a great secondary, and the offense is just maybe a play like, you know, like a training wheel free tight end and a playmaker away from being really good, which is hard to say and hard to do the year following Tom Brady. It'll frustrate fans. It'll piss them off, actually, because what did the Buccaneers do? They lose their like Pro Bowl caliber nose tackle, Vita V, right?
Right.
They lose him to a broken leg. I think he's out for the season. So what do? They go and they acquire somebody, you know, doesn't cost as much as he does, but a good, big, wide body to pair next to Ndamukong Suh on their defensive line so they don't miss a beat. They get this guy McClendon from the Jets. That's what you have to do. You can't just lose someone and just be like, hey, we'll go claim Carl Davis. Yeah, like, oh, man, I'm sure right now on the flight out here, Shanahan is like, guys, we dodged a bullet. Carl Davis isn't playing for the Patriots tomorrow. I think we have a chance.
Brian Belichick sending to Bryant College, picking up, you know, backup long snappers to join the Patriots 53 man. But I don't know if this is Ken Laird, but it's Ken in New Hampshire. What's up, Ken?
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. I just left my essential restaurant job, where I don't understand these people that they're at the bar with no mask. But
oh man, what happened?
I know it's stupid, but when I was listening, you guys say, "Where's Ken?" I'm like, "I'm right here."
Hiding in plain sight all day long.
Right. And, you know, of course, I love Chris Curtis and everything, but I was like, you know, this Tampa Bay stuff, like, my wife, she's probably more knows more things. Like, she should be on your show. And I used to catch her watching other games.
Uh-oh.
And I'd come home and be like, what the hell are you watching Green Bay and Minnesota for? We're Patriots fans. What are you doing?
Oh, my
she
God.
She is so mad at Tom Brady right now.
Ugh.
Like, she won't even let me watch the Tampa Bay games.
What?
But I am almost enjoying the fact that Gronk looks not very good.
Un-Gronk-like?
Yeah. She divorced Tom Brady for some reason. I don't know why. She's a wicked Fourier fan. She said she married me because I look like Fourier, and I'm like, no, I don't.
You sound like him.
I'm like,
hold on, quick, Ken. Quick question, Fourier. Ken. Are you busy Monday through Friday, 2 to 6?
Oh yeah. If you want to go on massmoney.com, you find your money.
All right, good stuff from Ken there. I don't know what's happening today.
Oh, my gosh. Curtis, I really feel like I might be in the upside down, but that's okay because Antonio Brown and Tom Brady are playing together, so that's our new normal.
Oh, we could see if we can get any calls up from there. 617-779-7937 on Pats 49ers tomorrow. Massive game, biggest regular season game in maybe a decade for the Patriots, and Tom Brady, Antonio Brown reunited, and it feels so good. We'll get to that next.
We're right back to it. This is Laird and Fitzy on EEI.
So let's go to Landon in New Hampshire. Good afternoon, Landon. How are you?
Good, man. How you guys doing?
Good, thank
What's up,
you.
Landon?
Great show. I listen to it every Sunday. I do deliveries and stuff, so you guys are a great show. But anyway.
Sneaking Alex and Gardner before the break. How you doing, Alex?
Hey, I'm good. What's going on?
How are you, Alex?
Not much, bud. What's up? Hey.
Fitzy, Greg Hill. I've been listening to you guys for years, dude, on WEI. First time I ever called, though.
I love a first time, long time.
Oh, yeah, Greg's great.
Yeah, I love it. But just wanted to talk about, Tampa really stealing our players, like that caller said before. What's going on down there? Is Tom Brady the GM, kid?
Yeah.
Alex, what'd you have for lunch today?
Oh, kid, I had a onion sandwich.
Okay.
Let the record show he said onion sandwich. I don't know if this is Ken Laird, but it's Ken in New Hampshire. What's up, Ken?
When I was listening, you guys said, where's Ken? I'm like, I'm right here. You know, this Tampa Bay stuff, like, my wife, she's a wicked Fourier fan. She said she married me because I look like Fourier, and I'm like, no, I don't.
You sound like him.
I'm like,
yeah, hold on, quick, Ken, quick question. Fourier. Ken, are you busy Monday through Friday, 2 to 6?
Oh, yeah. If you want to go on MassMoney.com, you find your money.
All right, good stuff from Ken there. I don't know what's happening.
Oh, my gosh.
I guess my read is not hitting the right people there, Nick. I feel like I have to redo my Spectrum ad for rehab, but I don't know. The listeners today have been well lubed up and enjoying the fine Saturday. By the way, Nick, it sucks that we have had the best fall collection of Saturdays in my lifetime around here. Mm-hmm. And there has been no tailgates, no games. Today, BC coming up at 3:30 right here on EEI against Georgia Tech. It would be a perfect time right now in Chestnut Hill, having a couple, grilling up, and yet, thanks to COVID, none of that is available.
Oh, it's Curtis, I can't even begin to tell you what a bummer it is to go down to the stadium. I guess tomorrow will be the fourth home game the Patriots will have played so far. This will be the fourth time I'll have head down to the stadium, do some work for the Pats on a home game. And you get there, and you walk in, and the music is blaring, and the teams are practicing on the field, and there's just nobody there.
That's got to be
nothing.
Eerie.
It is. It's not just sad. It's not just eerie, I should say, rather. It's sad. You know, I know last Sunday was an absolute, you know, grease fire of a game, but that withstanding, like, this team is interesting. Like, watching Cam when he plays really well is very exciting. Fans are being deprived the chance to watch the Patriots in their first year post-Tom Brady and cheer them on. And also, like you said, the great weather that we've had so many of these weekends this fall before winter is coming. And I have a feeling winter is really coming, but it's going to be bad. It's going to probably be pretty thick. But we can't, like, just even have, like, when I see these games that have, like, 7,500 fans, 10,000 fans, like, that, even that excites me compared to nobody being in the stadium. It doesn't feel right.
It's why college football, I really believe, and you and I agreed on this, I think, earlier this week, it's the best TV product right now, because you have the cheerleaders, you have the sort of pomp and circumstance, you have, especially in the SEC and Southern states, you have fans in the stands, and the players, the college student athletes, are so excited to be able to get out there and play. It's been the best in terms of drama, competition, and everything else. I take Saturdays over Sundays this year.
Oh, without a doubt. Saturdays are for everyone, to correct a popular phrase. Saturdays should be for everyone. Here's a quick question for you, Curtis. A couple weeks ago, there was a huge game at Texas A&M on a Saturday. I think there were something like 50,000 fans I forget what the name of the field. Kyle Field, thank you. I'm sorry. In College Station for an A&M Florida game. Has there been a mass outbreak down there? I'm no COVID denier, as a matter of fact. You know, I play it pretty safe and straight, but you know, I just feel like we should be able to trust enough adults to be in outdoor space together wearing a mask, and that it wouldn't be putting a lot of other people at risk of being like an outbreak or a super spreader event.
Nick, last Saturday in the city of Boston at 2:00, a group of women marched on the streets of Boston for female rights, reproductive rights, whatever. And it was great. There was a lot of people there do that. And yet Boston College or whomever, high school football, you can't get together. It's at Gillette Stadium today or tomorrow and grill with masks on, socially distanced. It makes absolutely no sense. And you can get people out of the house. I think a big reason why the TV ratings are down, I was actually talking about this with Andy before the show.
Yep.
And he made this point, and I agree with him. He said that it's because it's so nice out, people are getting outside, and I feel like families during the week, as you well know, Nick, are stuck together in one house. You're doing a show, they're doing Zoom, we have whatever. By the time you hit the weekends, the family needs to get the F out of the house. So they're not sitting inside together watching games when they would have after a week of work at school separate from one another.
It just doesn't mean what it did before, because what means more is being able to Andy's point, get in the boat while the weather's still good, ride a bike, take a walk. I can't tell you, like, I went for a bike ride, got up nice and early, took a little bike ride this morning with the family on the rail trail on Cape Cod. I wouldn't say it was packed, but there were so many people out of an off season in an area that is bereft now of tourists and populace, just sort of being out for the sake of being out. And the priority of, like, you know, Saturdays for the boys and like Sunday fun day and, you know, like a crazy wild wings, like, that's just not the same, because you can't sit inside anymore. You can't sit inside, and I can't, you know, we can't have a big tailgate with, you know, steak tips and the sausage and the fish fry and beers and everything. Like, nope, you have to sit at home with your family. Like, the choice between sitting at home and actually getting out and trying to enjoy your life before, like I said, winter comes, it's a pretty easy choice, Curtis.
I agree. And well done on the use of bereft. We have been bereft of good callers on the show this morning. But Bill in the car says that he has not been drinking, and he wants Tom Brady. He wants to talk about Tom Brady. So we'll be the judge if he's sober or not. Good afternoon, Bill. How are you?
Good afternoon. How are you guys doing today?
What's up, Bill?
Yeah, I got to tell you, you guys bring out the best. I was listening to all these championship-type callers.
I mean,
never before I've seen such finely assembled people.
Look out.
It was
top.
It was
top,
hilarious.
Top shelf,
I hope they're not
yes.
driving.
Yes, there's been they escaped Bridgewater, and they all get a burner phone for the day. What's going on, buddy?
I hope they're not voting. I hope they're not voting. Anyways, yeah, I got to tell you, I am so pumped that Brady is doing so great. All these people are whining. They're the same people who are driving Brady out of here. They can all fornication under consent of the king themselves, as far as I'm concerned. I hate these people. I hate them with a passion. Belichick, they give Belichick a pass. No one holds Belichick responsible for what he did against Philly. They should have 7 Super Bowls. It was all because of his ego.
I agree 100%.
And the guy has done nothing but been a stand-up, model citizen, model player, always took the deal, team-friendly deal, always, always, always. And he gets it tucked to him. I don't get it, how some of these people feel that way, especially the millennials. They're just insane. They've grown up with championships, and they don't know what it was like to have Tommy Hodson and players like that around there, or Houdini. I mean, it was horrible. It was horrible. The cupboard was completely bare.
I could not agree more with Bill. I thought people would be more divided on whether they were going to be rooting for Brady or the Patriots. The overwhelming people in our listening audience stuck with the Patriots and may or may not be rooting for Tom, but their first team, just like you, Nick, is the Patriots. But
yep,
there were so many people that I saw. The second Cam Newton had that great moral victory in Seattle where nobody thought that would be a game, and Cam played phenomenal. They had great numbers. Julian Edelman had his best regular season game ever, including games with Brady. And that week, it was like, goodbye, Brady. We're on to Cam. We have the next best thing.
Yep.
Brady was struggling a bit in his early season with the Bucs. And I'm like, I was a senior in high school during Tom Brady's first season as quarterback of the Patriots. So my entire adult life has been watching Tom Brady play. There is literally nothing he could do, absent Aaron Hernandez part 2, and even then I'd probably say he was innocent, that I wouldn't stand by him completely. He changed this entire region. I know he had help. I know he had Belichick. Mm-hmm. I know all of that happened. But he was a guy who was playing at the peak of his game. He was basically Derek Jeter, and then he was A-Rod in the same career. He was the guy who won a lot without the stats, then he got all the stats, and then he won a lot again with 6 titles, with 3 MVPs, and I guess it's just, maybe it's all the winning that we sort of desensitized to what he did here, but I thought he would have a little bit longer grace period when he left.
There are too many people that forget how much he did or how much he meant. And like that previous caller, Bill, it was, you know, pretty good, actually, pretty low bar, so maybe greatest caller of the day.
Yes.
But, you know, Brady, the bar was so low in Boston sports that Brady had nowhere to go but up. But all he did in that process was change the culture of the team, change the culture of the entire sports scene in Boston, and kind of change our lives, too, because he raised all expectations of the team, of when we would watch, of how we would watch, of how that made us feel about ourselves. Curtis, like, you know, we know sports is emotional connective tissue and it brings people together, and it's something we should always be able to agree or disagree about without it turning to the consternation that oftentimes comes with politics, religion, and other forgotten topics, right? But Tom Brady brought people together. He made us all want to be better because he was the best he could possibly be. So that's what he did to our region for two decades. And when he decided, along with Belichick and Kraft, that he was done here, we weren't done with him, but I was just kind of like, I put that to bed. Like, I'm surprised that I just sort of like have been able to look at the time that we had with Brady and say, these are, like, I remember this part. It was like my prolonged adolescence well into my adulthood. I named a kid after him. I scheduled my life around watching Tom Brady games. I didn't miss a one for 20 years. How lucky was I? And that ship has sailed. I don't need to keep watching Tom Brady anymore. It's okay. I'm okay. And I'm okay with that. I wish him the best. I just don't need it anymore because I had so much of it for so long. Lucky me.
You and Ken's wife can watch just the Patriots games together up in New Hampshire next weekend. Coming up next, I'm going to tell you and the lovely listeners of this radio station, the single dumbest thing I have ever read in my life was written by Greg Bedard. And we'll get to that coming up next.
Time now for Laird and Fitzy, Ken Laird and Nick Fitzy Stevens, right here on EEI.
All right, final segment of Laird and Fitzy. Without Laird, he's helping his mom like a good son in Pittsburgh. And I am Chris Curtis in for Ken. And this hour is brought to you by Fine Mass Money. We could all use a little extra money. Fine Mass Money is a free service of the state treasurer's office with over $3 billion worth of unclaimed property. Find yours at findmassmoney.com.
Curtis, quick update to our checking of the college football scoreboard, which we were on earlier today when the upset alert siren was almost rung by producer Bridget. It is now currently Clemson 47, Syracuse 21.
All right. Well, they made it a game. That's good.
How great is it to have Big Ten football back today? Oh. And don't tell me out there, audience, you're like, ah, this isn't a college football town, guys. Click. You're watching college football because it's going to be colder tonight, and you've got Michigan against
Minnesota.
What a treat to at least have college football back on.
I have this weird soft spot for Michigan. It has nothing to do with Brady. Everybody hates Harbaugh every year, and I always like Michigan over Ohio State. I don't know why. I'm just I don't know. But I'm really excited to see that game tonight because I don't know his name, but Minnesota's coach is awesome. He's got like this young, fiery, next big thing guy, but.
Yeah, Minnesota's always sneaky competitive, and I would like to see Harbaugh just get over the, you know, I never wanted to see Peyton get over the Belichick-Brady hump. He did a couple times eventually. I would like to see Harbaugh conquer Mount St. Ohio State just once.
I know.
Just once.
I hate Urban Meyer. That's probably why. He's always, anyway. Speaking of things I hate, Greg Bedard today wrote on the Boston Sports Journal. I only have the first couple paragraphs of this because he removed my free membership. He was writing about Antonio Brown and Tom Brady's pursuit of AB to Tampa Bay. He writes, on one hand, Tom Brady wants us to literally buy his wholesome persona. Mr. Family Guy, humble roots, doesn't offend anyone. The long shot, everyone counted out time and again. Mr. All-American. And then he keeps wanting to play football with Antonio Brown. Gross. Brady can't have it both ways. Now, there are so many things that are wrong with this, but I'll just start with, what in God's name does Tom Brady's family life and his role as a father have to do with who he wants to play football with?
Well, I'll tell you exactly why Bedard brings that up, Curtis, is because he says he thinks there's some hypocrisy here. He finds it disingenuous that a guy like Brady, who makes his private life, if you will, his family life, kind of public through social media and sees this whole body, whole mind, whole soul reclamation that you, the turnaround you can have if you invest in the TB12 life. He's saying that he shouldn't be playing with people that are, you know, I'm not going to call him a criminal, but that are kind of like lunatics or miscreants like an Antonio Brown. And Brady's obsession with him may go beyond, or Brady's infatuation, I should say, not that there's that much difference between the two. It may go beyond the football field. We know he loves throwing to him on the field, Curtis, but maybe there is something to the idea that Brady wants to be the guy that solves and fixes Antonio Brown. Know what I mean?
Right, but his goal and his intentions are pure. He wants to apply his mindset to Antonio Brown because he believes if you combine the talent, which is, you know, inarguable within Antonio Brown, with the TB12 method and mindset, that he can be the best player in the NFL. And why wouldn't you want to improve other people and bring them into your life? I thought that's what, you know, we loved. And the only thing that's hypocritical is the Patriot Way Patriots and the litany of things that have gone on there in the last 20 years. I mean, come on. If there's anything that is not what you think it is, it's the Patriots. It's not Tom Brady. But I digress. We got a bunch of callers. Let's see if we have two or three more sober calls the rest of today. Let's go to Jim in Holyoke. How are you doing, Jim?
I am well, gentlemen. How are you?
Good.
Good. I am in the car, but I'm not drinking, and I do plan to vote. So I figured I'd clear those topics up straight off.
A Kanye fan?
I'm sorry?
You voting for Kanye?
Well, I'm, with this election, I may end up writing somebody in, but yeah, maybe Kanye's an option.
Cool.
So I'm not I'm not crazy about either main camp.
Yep. What did you want to say?
Well, I want to, you know, people have touched a little bit today on this topic, the idea who was more influential or gets more credit, Brady or Belichick. And I want to come down on the coach's side, not simply because it's Belichick, but because I think the coach is almost always more influential. You look at, I mean, look at great, great quarterbacks that have landed on teams that were either mediocre coaches or mediocre GMs or whatever. You know, a guy like an Aaron Rodgers, or a guy I thought was the best passer I ever saw, Marino, and stuff. And what happens to them in terms of winning in Super Bowls? You know, almost nothing, because they can't build the team around them.
Well, Dan Marino had one of the great coaches, the winningest coach in NFL history.
Well, then in that case, I suppose then it's the, what do you call it, the GM in the establishment.
Right. No, I think that that's, I mean, you and I fall differently on this, Fitzy. I think that, you know, your point is very well made in that Brady is one player. Belichick is not only the coach, but he's the GM that surrounded him with these players. And the depth of the 53-man roster that was around Tom for the last 20 years is what differentiated himself from the Peyton Manning Colts and other teams.
Yes, Curtis, I want to respond to that, but there's a little bit of breaking 2020 COVID-19 news.
Okay.
Bills tight end Dawson Knox has tested positive for COVID-19 and will miss Sunday's game. Tight ends Lee Smith, Tommy Sweeney, and Nate Becker will all also be out after being identified as close contacts. So that means basically the Bills are going to be, and if there's any team you can do it against, it's the one they're playing. The Bills will be without all of their tight ends tomorrow when they take on the New York Jets
and
at
MetLife
Stadium.
And I'm just seeing this tweet, this following tweet a second ago from Schefter. Bills tight end Tyler Kroft was spared from the outbreak because he was with his wife who was in labor while this was going on.
Oh, they do have one. That's right. So Kroft will be the start tomorrow.
So, Kroft will play because of happenstance and being with his wife when she gave birth. But that is, it's,
lucky
I mean, every Sunday morning you wake up, just fingers crossed that the games are going to actually take place. It is.
Exactly.
It's a bizarre, bizarre feeling. Anyway, let's keep it going with calls. We've got a couple minutes left. Joe is in Tampa. I'm jealous and wants to talk about Brady. How you doing, Joe?
Hello from the Boston Patriots fans, New England Patriots fans that live in Tampa now, the transplants.
All right.
When we see each other at the grocery store, we love Tom being here and we love Gronk being here. And no matter where he would go, we would cheer for him because all the happiness he's brought into our life. And there's no, is it Brady or is it Belichick? Because you can't go to the Super Bowl nine times with a good quarterback and a bad coach, or a bad coach and a good quarterback.
It's a good point.
So you gotta have both. So they both get credit for it. And the Scientologists are in Clearwater, city of Clearwater, not Tampa.
Well, okay, good to know. I appreciate that also. But that was probably, of all the calls we've had today, Curtis, the best point.
Yes.
That's the best point. Of the 9 Super Bowls, can't go with just a good coach and a bad quarterback, nor a good coach and a bad quarterback. That's well said. Well said.
Hey, it's better than anything I've said. We're going to end today's program. James in Attleboro, you get the last word. What do you want to say, James?
First-time listener, first-time caller.
Oh, good.
Excellent. Welcome.
I was thinking back about Belichick and, you know, him knowing when a player is at its curve and selling. I think that was Belichick's idea, knowing Brady's declining. And Brady knows he's declining, so he's putting himself in a position to have all these all-stars or very athletic receivers so that he, on his decline, can use those athletes to make him look better. And I'll leave you with that in my thought and listen to what you have to say.
All right, James. Well, I think that there is some truth to that, but you tell me if I'm wrong, Fitzy.
Go for
Brady's
it.
Passes and his actual physical play this year hasn't looked bad. He's looked great. I think it's his mind that has been, you know, hurting him more than his arm this year so far.
Oh, if I was just going to say, it's, you know, thinking that he gets 5 downs because he's Tom Brady or a couple of the choices he's made and bad reads on passes. Physically, he's throwing the ball as well as he has at any point over the past 10 years. And that's what they all say, too, that the judgment, the decision-making, the mind goes just a little bit before. No matter how many Sudokus or how many game films he watches, all the mental acuity exercises Brady does, that's where it's hardest, I think, to fight back the hands of time. But, Curtis, one of the things I used to always say was, you know, I will never, ever, ever bet against or count out Tom Brady. So, no, arm looks great this year.
He does. So our final segment here, I don't know if you already picked the games. If you did, you can make them up again or say what you said earlier. But tomorrow, who do you like? Pats, Niners, what's the score?
I think the Patriots are awfully lucky that the 49ers are going to be without Raheem Mostert, 2 starting safeties, one of their best linebackers in Quan Alexander. They're going to have 2 really good defensive tackles in Javon Kinlaw and Arik Armstead to have to deal with. But it's not the same Niners team. So they're going to try to throw the ball, and I think they're going to put up some points tomorrow. I'll tell you, the star of the game is going to be Bill Belichick, because his defense is going to get in Jimmy Garoppolo's head enough to turn the ball over to give the Patriots a comfortable, I'll say, 27-20 victory over the 49ers in a crisp, precise, and well-played game, because it's going to be the opposite of last week, Curtis.
I like that. My wild prediction tomorrow, Edelman throws a touchdown pass to Cam Newton. Tomorrow in the game, the Patriots win. I'm going to call it 31-24, same score, same differential as you, but I think it's going to be a breath of fresh air. Monday morning, Cam is going to join the Greg Hill Show, and we're all going to be like, all right, we got a football season, we're going forward, and 3-3, another restart, 6 games into the season. So that's what I'm going with. I think the Bucks might be due for a little bit of a slow start. They're a young team on defense. They don't seem to be good when they're front runners, and everybody's saying, you saw the way they opened the season after the whole offseason where everybody said they were the new, the super team of the NFL. So I think it's going to be a tight win by Brady, because Derek Carr will throw a late pick for the Raiders. But I think the Bucs win, but not a very good game tomorrow.
Don't forget, you can't really run against him, which kind of neutralizes Josh Jacobs. We'll see if Ruggs can challenge the Tampa defense and stretch him deep. They have no offensive line this week, basically, for the Raiders. So I think the Tampa defense gets it one out there for them in a low-scoring affair. We'll call it 23-17 Bucks.
All right, Nick, it has been awesome working with you. Thank you for allowing me to fill into the mighty shoes of one Ken Laird. He'll be back next Saturday. Tomorrow morning, you will be able to hear Jermaine Wiggins, Christian Fourier, and Rich Keefe on NFL Sunday. And, of course, Glenn, Fred, and Steve following the game. Fitzy, thank you, my friend.
Good job by you, Curtis. Have a good one, pal.
All right, go Eagles. BC football coming up next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your
vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.